I see a lot more devotees here than Ritmangal Arti. Not that you're lazy, but at the kirtan last night must have gone on. What time did it end?
10.
Oh, last year it was midnight. Very special kirtan group, yeah? Like New York. Goloka. Goloka kirtan. So the topic for this morning, it's a nice topic, and pardon me, but there'll be some philosophy. You know, the others were stories, and this is going to be practical and some philosophy as well. Saying yes to Krishna more than with behavior and more than with your mind, but move to the position of the heart. Moving from the position from head to heart. Where to begin? Something that I've noticed, and I've shared it from time to time, I have a sense that many, not all, but many devotees join Krishna consciousness with their mind. And because the mind is unstable, their commitment to the process of bhakti is less than what it could be. And sometimes people go away. More than sometimes. Commonly people will go away. But there's something, according to Bhagavad Gita, there's four types of pious people that render service unto Krishna. And I want, and I want, and I want, and I want. And when I get what I want, it's see you later, Krishna. Thanks very much. Until a pinch comes again, and then go to Krishna again. It's the mind. Because also according to Bhagavad Gita, the mind carries conceptions of life or desires. We know what desires are. There's desires in the mind, and then there's desires of the soul, and we have a battle between the two, the desires of the mind. And the desires of the mind are vasanas or impressions that are there because of past involvement with matter. So it goes like this. The senses reach out into the field of the material energy, make contact with something, and then in sense impression goes into the mind and it's stored. And then there's certain characteristic things that the senses look for out there, and then it makes a strong. Well, the first is sankskara, and over a period of time it becomes a different term, vasana. Vasana is very similar to a garment, something that you wear. It's not you, but it's something that you wear, your garments. Krishna says, use the same language in Bhagavad Gita, that just as a living entity changes garments, so also the soul changes bodies. Both gross and subtle. It takes some time for the change of body to subtle and gross to take place, but there are vasanas, or they're coverings. It's not who we really are. And so we want something, and we go, the pious persons go to the Supreme Person, the dispenser of things, and wish relief from distress. Thank you very much. Wish economic betterment. Thank you very much. Which wish to have their curiosity satisfied, or wish to get knowledge, thank you very much. So that's the mind. And the mind is chanchala, unsteady, flickering, sometimes and sometimes. So it's not a stable position. We're just having a conversation, just to illustrate the point. I want to get to the scriptural references, but build like a picture first. Somebody recently was sharing with me, I have a hard time sticking with things. And they gave the example, recently I've been on this, I gotta do healthy things. So they read up on healthy things and got all like into it, fired up as we say in ISKCON, you know, to do healthy things, exercise, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I did it for 3 weeks. And then, it's just not the same. I just don't have the same rah-rah to go do exercise and keep my health strong. And it's, my life has been like that, you know, in so many other areas. What to do? And particularly when it comes to bhakti, that pattern may also be there. I call it the Ferris wheel. Or the sine curve. Unsteady, anishtita bhakti. Doesn't mean that person that's unsteady is an insincere person or a bad person. There's something fundamentally wrong with that person. But it's just a stage of bhakti. And so the message this morning is how to move from that unsteady, say yes to Krishna with the mind, to steady, say yes to Krishna with the heart. So it doesn't matter what's going on outside. It's not prompted by something outside or stopped by something outside. Nice Bhagavatam verse. Ahoituki apratyata yatma supersedati. Many of you know the verse. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojataha janiyati ashu vairagyam jnanam cha yadahaitukam. Whoops. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir dhoksaje ahoituki. Hetu means cause. So, without cause, when you engage in devotional service, material cause, I want, fill in the blank, desire that's carried in the mind. And the particular desire that we carry in the mind has to do with our previous activity. And we may try to change from that desire to a new one, a better one, something that's going to help me. And if we just do it in the mind, those forces of the modes of nature and our past karma keep moving. They don't say, all right. They say, wait a minute. You're not getting away so easy. I'm in charge around here. And sure enough, they're in charge. There's a few more scriptural references. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 40 is a verse where Krishna speaks about there's a hierarchy. There's matter, and above matter is the senses, above the senses is the mind, above the mind is intelligence, and above them all is the soul. In that section, Prabhupada writes that the soul is the next door neighbor. Intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. Howdy, neighbor. And it's not us, it's the neighbor. And then go down, and then it's the mind. And then it's the senses being attracted by this configuration or disliking that, our likes and dislikes. It's very clearly spelled out. It's Sankhya teaching, the configuration. So from chapter 2, we know that this is who we are. We're the soul. And we learn from chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita, the soul is both conscious, that's distinct from matter. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that distinguishes the two. And it's consciousness. If I had an extra half hour or 40 minutes, I'd go into that a little bit more. There's not time. It's not the main focus, but it's important. It's an important fundamental teaching of a life of devotion is we are the soul, and the soul is both conscious and consciousness. I remember hearing Prabhupada say like that many times. It didn't go in. I couldn't understand what his message was. Until I read Tattvasandarbha and spoke about it. It goes like this, just like a lamp or a candle. It's luminous. It's a property of fire that it gives light. And it's a property of the fire that gives light that it illumines other things in the room. Using the standard Vedic terminology, it illumines pots and plates. Stuff, things, vastu, things out there. As light is luminous and illuminates, so the soul is also conscious and consciousness. Consciousness means the seat of consciousness is the conscious self, and that consciousness extends out through the senses. And then the senses pick up on something that's out there, and then the signal goes back to the mind that stores it, impressions. I'm thinking of Ramayana. I won't go there. There's a very nice expression, quickly. Sanat Kumar has a dream. Sanat Kumar has a dream that he was saving the Vedas and had a big battle with demons that are trying to steal the Vedas in a dream. He sleeps too. And so he asked his father, Lord Brahma, what was that all about? And Lord Brahma says, it's a premonition that in a future existence, you're going to become a warrior that saves the Vedas. So, or a past impression stored. He serves Krishna in that way. So it's impression that's stored. Prabhupada's expression was, supposing you have a dream that you're flying in the sky. It means that in some previous life you were flying in the sky. Because you wouldn't be able to have that dream that's in the mind only unless the impression was there. You can't create impressions. Dreams are just reworking, maybe combining this one, that one, from previous experiences. And life, material life, is just a rerun. It's a movie rerun. Over and over and over and over and over. Until the process of bhakti, I'll cut quickly to the method. Bhakti process is the only, according to Lord Kapila Dev, it's the only process that not only can purify the mind, but dissolve the subtle body. You can look it up later. Canto 3, chapter 25. I think it's verse 32. Devahuti wants to know, is it really possible to get out of material existence? Because we've been so long involved in material existence. You know, so you want to say yes to Krishna, and your mind says yes, and your actions say yes, and then you find it's not the same after some time. The bungee cord. You're back to where you were. Or, you know, a little bit better, but not... Something happened. Is it possible, she wants to know, to get completely free? Completely free, permanently? And the answer is yes, by the bhakti process, because the bhakti process has the power to dissolve the subtle body. Our dear friend, the subtle body, our mind and our false ego, gone? Well, good news. There's a spiritual mind and a spiritual ego. And saying yes to Krishna means to get there. We can still use our faculties of thinking, feeling, willing. We can still use our intelligence of discrimination, but it's another kind of intelligence. The other kind of intelligence is, according to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, Krishna gives it. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. It's intelligence, how to get to Krishna. And Krishna awards it. It's a gift unto those who tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Unto those people. Priti means love. Purvakam, completely. It's non-stop. They want to be in loving relation, loving service unto Krishna. So the beginning of Krishna consciousness is we do things. We can, you know, lots of things we do in Krishna consciousness. And as we do those things, there's some purification where your thoughts and your emotions undergo some change. Sometimes those thoughts and emotions result in more turmoil than before. That's not a bad sign. It means there's purification going on. You know what I'm talking about? Something that I... a Prabhupada story from long ago. One devotee, really good manager, one of the best managers in ISKCON, confided at one time with Srila Prabhupada that before I was a devotee practicing Krishna consciousness, I think I was more peaceful, but now that I'm doing all this service... there's disturbance in the mind. And Prabhupada, and so, am I doing something wrong? Prabhupada said, very good. He gave the example, supposing you enter a house that has been neglected for years and years, and you want to make the house clean. What do? You begin cleaning. And as you begin cleaning, what happens? Dust and stuff goes flying all over the place. It's difficult, maybe, to stay in the house, continue the cleaning. But you stay in the house, continue the cleaning and cleaning and cleaning, and after some time, it's clean. And there's no more dust, and it's a very inviting place to stay. So similarly, the heart. Now, that's our topic this morning. The heart is becoming cleansed by the process of bhakti. So if you weren't a devotee, what would happen is all those things would just hang around. Tick, 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 tick. Time would pass, and then rising to the surface comes a desire. And you think that desire is me. And you act on that desire, and you live a material life because of the previous impressions. And now you're creating a whole new set of impressions in the material field that are then going to act as impressions that will cause the next activities of guna and karma. It's a subtle machinery, but it's definitely a machinery that keeps the world turning around. And the living entities in the cycle of birth and death. Bondage to the laws of karma and modes of nature. That's the say no to Krishna program. It's very effective. There's no escape. And then, now, there is an option, and that's the bhakti option, that's the say yes to Krishna option. It takes more than just saying yes from the mind. Certain behaviors that create certain impressions, and then the mind, at least in course of time, becomes purified. The message this morning is purification is very much wanted. And purification is, according to our acharyas, it's not the goal. The goal is being in our relationship with Krishna. That's the primary. And the others are secondary. It's important. Secondary doesn't mean forget it. It means it's dependent upon the primary, and the primary is primary. The primary is being in our relationship with Krishna. That's the heart. I'm going to illustrate this in a few different ways. I hope you don't mind my delivery. It's a little kind of, there are little pieces over here and pieces over here, but it all fits together. The puzzle makes a nice picture. So there's a very famous verse in 2nd Canto, chapter 3, where Prabhupada uses this phrase, change of heart. And it's in the verse, and it's in the purport about 8 times, change of heart, change of heart. So move from the head to the heart. It fits our topic. And this is chapter 3 of Canto 2, because the end of Canto 1, there was a question. The two are introduced, Maharishi Parikshit, the king that's about to die, and Shukadeva Goswami, who he's approaching as his teacher and his guru, with actually 2 questions. What's my duty? What's the duty of one who's about to die? Because who can say they're not about to die? What's the duty of my citizens who are sooner or later going to be dying? What's their duty? What's the duty of one who knows they're going to die? That's all of us. Tomorrow or the next day. We're all going to die. What's the duty? And the second question is, what is that subject matter that one should always hear, chant, and remember? So Canto 2 begins in 3 chapters, responding to that question and keeping it really simple, as Prabhupada does in the purport of this verse, the change of heart verse. He summarizes chapter 1 emphasizes 2 things, hearing and chanting about Krishna, and forming a conception based upon seeing things within nature, spiritualizing the mind by seeing things in relation to their source of emanation, seeing the universal form, seeing the presence of the source of everything within everything. So it's a whole chapter is those 2, hearing and chanting, spiritualizing the mind. Then, 2nd chapter, as the mind becomes spiritualized, direct the mind to the Supersoul, the one who is in charge of all things in this world, matter, the modes of nature, all forms of life, all variegatedness. He oversees everything. And bring your conscious attention, the mind that's now purified, to that place. And then chapter 3, which is the next chapter, is devotional service. Once having the mind reasonably focused upon the other conscious being within this body that's conscious of all beings, within the heart of every living entity, to engage in loving service to that person. And again, emphasis upon the hearing and chanting process, actually each of the three chapters. So, because that's our life. Here we are, hearing and chanting. Nice kirtan. And then discussing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then more kirtan, and then nice prasadam. So hearing and chanting in the association of Vaishnavas. Receiving this descending knowledge of transcendence coming to us through sound. And let it touch our consciousness. And then something happens. So before I read the verse, just a thought here. In chapter 12, Bhagavad Gita, divisions of faith, Arjuna asks the question, if people don't have faith in you, do they have faith in something else? Good question. In other words, is faith intrinsic to the soul? Just like consciousness is intrinsic to the soul. So is faith intrinsic to the soul? And the answer is yes. And the language that Prabhupada uses is faith according to the modes of nature touch the heart. And the reason I'm making this reference is that this is the same topic, the change of heart. And then he goes on describing, according to the modes of nature, there's when the modes of nature influence the soul in ignorance, then faith is in ignorance and passion, faith in passion, faith in goodness, consciousness of goodness. And the advocacy of Bhagavad Gita is beyond those three modes of nature. It's already been stated many times. So change of heart means to go beyond the modes of nature, to have faith in this knowledge of transcendence that's descending unto us through proper means, through hearing, through disciplic succession, that's the proper means, with an eagerness. I want to understand, I want to know that realm of transcendence. What is it? I know it exists. I have that faith that it exists. And based on that faith, I'm hearing there's something beyond all of this that exists, beyond the modes of nature, beyond karma, beyond things that are temporary. What's that eternal reality? I want to know. So by receiving that, that's the hearing and chanting part of the Bhagavad Dharma. We're tuning into the Krishna channel. Just turn your receiver on. It may be a little, you know, staticky at first until you find how to tune into the Krishna channel. But it's the sound vibration is there. Here's the text 24, Canto 2, Chapter 3. Certainly that heart is steel-framed which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. So those three, that's the stage of bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti, if done properly, with concentration, so that's the mind that's not all over the place or distracted, but with concentration, if one chants the holy name with concentration and the stage of bhava doesn't come, then one's heart is to be understood as steel-framed. Now, I looked up the Sanskrit word that they use for steel. Was there steel during Shukadeva Goswami's time? Sometimes it's stone. Sometimes it's iron. It's just something that's hard. That's the message. So Prabhupada is using steel. Framed. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at, this is purport, aimed at changing the heart of the living entity in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So now going back, chapter 1 is not that. Chapter 1 is the preliminary, hearing and chanting, and getting, just seeing things in nature in relation to the source of their emanation. Then, second, within chapter 2, hearing and chanting, focusing attention on, because now the mind is somewhat purified, on the source of consciousness, the source of that which is guiding all of material nature. What's that? And so the practice of yoga that's very popular in the world, the Hatha Yoga goes by different names according to the brand, but it's from that Ashtanga Yoga system. It has that goal, just as Canto 3 Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev describes it. Meditation is the means in Satya Yoga. Meditation on what? Meditation on Vishnu. And then eventually that meditation on Vishnu leads to change of heart. So acting from the heart, not just from the mind. I'm debating where to go next. I think where I'll go next is with reference to something that was on Friday. Those of you over here will remember, and I've repeated it a few times. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in instructing Sanatana Goswami, says that one who takes shelter of me fully, I accept as my confidential associate. Remember that one. That was Madhyalila chapter 22, text 101. So I'm going to make reference to text 105, which comes right after 101. And it's a reference made by the author. What is sadhana bhakti? That's us, practitioners of sadhana. And he makes reference to Rupa Goswami, who gives a definition of sadhana bhakti that's connected with this Canto 2 verse, by the way. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhanadibhi sadhanadibha nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakrityam hridi sadhyata. So sadhya, there's sadhana, and sadhana is the practice, and sadhana has a goal, sadhya. It's kind of like we're more familiar hearing Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. The Prayojana is the sadhya, it's the goal. And over here is the practice of reaching the goal. So Rupa Goswami is giving a definition of sadhana bhakti, because that's one of his topics. Bhakti has divisions. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. Here's Prabhupada's translation. When transcendental devotional service, by which love for Krishna is attained, is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service and practice. And Prabhupada uses, he translates, the word bhava is here twice, and both times he translates it as love of God. Sadhya bhava. So the goal is love of God. But the word is actually bhava. So the kriti sadhya, pardon me for getting philosophical and technical here, but it's important to it's like the foundation of how to go from the head to the heart. Kriti sadhya, so kriti is things that you do. And, you know, we practice. The body, I mentioned, and I'll repeat, there's the activities of the body, there's the functions of the mind, our emotions and our feelings about things. And then there's something deeper, you know, our intention, our desire, sankalpa. Remember from yesterday morning, the story of Gopakumar, and he had different sankalpas. He had a mantra that could take him anywhere, and eventually did, took him. But according to the intention, he went to different places, temporary places, and found it wasn't satisfying, like we do. We don't necessarily go to, you know, Maharloka and Tapaloka and Brahmaloka and find it not satisfying. But we go from this thing to that thing and the other thing and find it not satisfying because our intention, the heart, is not properly aligned. So the definition that's given by Rupa Goswami here is sadhana has these two elements. It's what you do with your senses. Kriti, sadhya, it's what you do. And then there's sadhya bhava, is what your intention is. So to move to the heart, you have to have clarity of intention. Otherwise, we're being ruled by the modes of nature, which, according to Bhagavad Gita, influences the mind and the heart, specifically in Prabhupada's language. It contaminates the heart, the modes of nature. So we have our desires and our faith according to the conditioning influences, the modes of nature, which has to do with stuff that we did previously, and now we're conditioned by particular combination of modes. Is it clear? We want to go to the heart. We want to go from the head to the heart. We don't like cut off our mind, but we want to go from the head to the heart so that it's we're connecting with Krishna. So according to this definition, putting it in really strong language, you're not even doing sadhana bhakti unless the intention is the goal. Whoa. Wait a minute. What are we doing if we're not doing bhakti? Because I'm not thinking about the goal all the time. So what are all those times that I'm not thinking about the goal? Well, it's practice. But the track that we need to get on to move to the heart so that we can go to the goal is to be clear what the goal is and keep the goal in our heart. Keep the goal as the intention with which we're performing the activities of the body and the activities of the mind, the contemplations. So the purification power is not the activity itself. There's power in the chanting of the holy name, obviously. It's eternally beneficial for anybody anywhere to chant Krishna's name. The fullness of that power will not come without the proper intention. Now, two other messages that say the same thing, and then a conclusion. Some of you have been around for a while, and some of you know there's two standard definitions of bhakti. It's like really basic. Sarvapadi vinir bhuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. That's from Narada Pancharatra. And the definition of bhakti starts with letting go of our upadis, our designations, the coverings of the soul, and using the senses in the activities of the material energy for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, Rishikesh. That's a definition. So it's not just the behavior, it's for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. That's what bhakti is. And if it's not for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, it may have the form, but not the substance. So we need to go to the substance along with the form, that we don't discard the form. But we, to move from the head to the heart, which is the substance, please, the pleasing of Krishna part. And the other standard definition of bhakti comes from Rupa Goswami. It's the primary verse of the whole Nectar of Devotion, so it's a nice one to know what it is. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma janavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama. So our acharyas have analyzed this way, Jiva Goswami in particular, that of those messages in that definition, some are secondary and one is primary. The Sanskrit term is sorup lakshana, and the other is our tatastha lakshana, marginal, secondary. And the secondary follows the primary, not the other way around. It's not that we'll get a taste for chanting just by lots of chanting. We'll get a taste for chanting when we're hankering for being in our relationship with Krishna. And when chanting, that's what we're doing, is being in our relationship with Krishna. It's one of the nice things about japa, and one of the nice things about kirtan, is initially the mind is all over the place. But if you get absorbed, then something happens. And time just passes, and you feel you're with Krishna. That's a nice feeling. And then we start getting proud, oh, I'm with Krishna, and then something... Where'd that feeling go? We're not meant to be the enjoyer, we're meant to be the servant of... In our relationship, of course, we give ourselves to Krishna, and he considers us to be his confidential associate. But the first part starts over here. It's not just the doing, it's the intention behind the doing. And that gets refined and refined and refined and refined, and like an ocean that has no bottom, unlimitedly refined. That's called prema. And there's no limit to it. So, the according to Jiva Goswami, the first part, those of you that are been around for a while, you know the first part. Anya abhilash shunyam. Abhilash means desire. Anya abhilash, other desires, zippo, nada, gone. Other desires, which ones? Jnana and karma, fruit of activity and speculation, knowing things by your power of speculation. Those help. They're important and even essential in getting purification by the bhakti process. And then comes anukulyena krishnanushilana. Krishna anushilana. Anushilana, Prabhupada is translated in his introduction to Nectar Devotion as a type of cultivation. Anu means follow. Shila means behavior. Following behavior of great souls, our previous acharyas. Following the behavior of the great souls, our previous acharyas. So that's also secondary. It's not optional, but the primary is anukulyena. According to Jiva Goswami, anukulyena is a little technical, but grammatically, it's instrumental case of anukul. And anukul is accepting. And anukulyena is instrumental, means it stands on its own. It's independent of an essential element of following, you know, the behavior and what your mind does. It's the instrumental case, according to Jiva Goswami, tells us that it's imperative. It's the most important part of the bhakti process. Or say it the other way. Without it, it's not bhakti. It's a behavior. Another way of saying the same thing that I've coined a little bit. We're not the International Society for Behavior Modification Incorporated. We're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And that's this anukulyena. The intention with which, you with me? Another reference is Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction. One of the causes of diminishing or destroying bhakti is neglecting the standard conduct, or just doing the standard conduct without understanding the purpose behind it. It diminishes or depletes or vinashati, it destroys bhakti. So bhakti means you know why you're doing what you're doing. And if you don't know, then ask. And if you have a mind that's flickering, you try to control the mind. That's the secondary parts. But stay, the bhakti principle is acting for the pleasure of Krishna. And when the most important time of your day and your life, many days together, is your sadhana. When you're engaged directly in hearing and chanting and reading and, you know, receiving that sound vibration and interacting with that sound vibration. If you remember something that I spoke earlier, is when we're chanting japa, different than kirtan, it's just three things. It's us, the name, and the mind. And how are you going to get the mind to be steady? Unless that intention is strong, it's not going to be there. And the intention is to be in that relationship. So there are supports that help us be in that relationship, and that's association with those who are in that relationship with Krishna. The association of Vaishnavas gives us strength beyond our own strength. But we should recognize that added strength is a Krishna potency invested in them. And we're just gathering together to get that Krishna potency so we can, from the heart meaning the very seat of consciousness, the soul itself. Then the intelligence Krishna gives. And then the intelligence directs the mind. The mind directs the senses, and then it's not upside down. Material life is upside down without detailing it. It's just the other way around. The soul's at the bottom going for the ride. And it's a scary ride, as we heard. It's fearful. Uddhava is saying to Krishna, Vayam Dutriyam Binivesitaksyat Isada Petasya Vapar Yo Smritihi. You can't remember. The mind is unsteady. You can't stay with things. Some persons, according to the modes of nature, may be better at maintaining. Others, but the modes of passion and ignorance are very strong and influence the mind and the intelligence and desire. So how do we fix that problem? It's pervasive. It's not just me. The age of Kali everything is deteriorated. All good things become deteriorated. But there's one good thing. What's that one good thing? This Srimad Bhagavatam and the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing and chanting the holy name with the intention that, and faith, transcendental faith, at least in the beginning stage, that this can take me to that realm of transcendence. The more I hear about the realm of transcendence in that mood, the more I want to be there. And even in this body, I can be there because of consciousness, the consciousness that extends to there, and that reciprocation of Krishna that extends to us. That's from the heart. One last thing. It's anecdotal, but it says the same message. In the course of my traveling as a sannyasi, meeting different audiences and different places and so forth, one of the top five questions is phrased different way, but when will that time come that my chanting won't be mechanical and I'll actually experience being connected with Krishna when chanting? It's said in different ways, but this is the answer. The chanting is not just something you do. It can be something you do and stop there, and then the transformation of heart won't come. All of this morning's discussion with scriptural references to say how to go to the heart from the position of the head, how to say yes to Krishna from the heart. That each of us, the experience of doing that is going to be a little different because we're a little different. There's variegatedness, but these are principles. That's what Krishna wants for us. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended in the world to give to us. That's the gift. Say yes from the heart. Again, with gratitude. And don't stop. Let that gratitude go deeper and deeper and more profound and sharper image and clarity, and keep going and keep going and keep going. From the heart. Initially there may be less from the heart and more from the head and less clarity and less focus and more distraction. Keep going. Not in a mechanical fashion. In a feeling from the heart position. Anukulyena. Okay, so some time is there for questions. Yes. Right here, behind you. No, the other side.
Krishna Maharaj, I was just thinking of what you just shared about chanting, and I was thinking during japa there's moments when that intention is there.
Mm.
And how do you keep it constant?
Practice, cultivate. That's the anushilana. But what you cultivate is anukalyena. Not so that you have an experience. That's unstable. It's Krishna should be pleased. That's the stable. Those moments are when it's kind of like, you know, it's a cloudy day. The clouds part and the sun comes through. Wow. And then the clouds form again and covers the sun again. That cloudiness, it's a metaphor used by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's the clouds of our past offenses. And the mist of ignorance. It's been a misty morning too. Lots of fog. Clouds of offense and the mist of ignorance blocks the power of the sun. So your question is how to get to the place where we can see the sun in a steady manner. Well, we have to go through the ordeal of eradication of ignorance, the root of which is ignoring Krishna, and the offenses that have followed that original ignorance. We have to take responsibility for our past free will choices that now have all this clouded mist. Just with faith, so this is the anushilana, we continue to cultivate, but not just mechanically. We cultivate this other way. We want to please Krishna. I want to get there. I want to get to the place where there's love, divine love. And I hear people sing about it and talk about it and write about it, and I want to experience it. I want to be there and cultivate that. Anukalyena Krishna Anushilana. With faith. Some hands. There's one hand over here. Oh, you have a hand.
So when you were making the point of connecting the head to the heart, you said that according to one...
It's not connect the head to the heart. Move from the head to the heart.
Head to the heart, right. Okay. Move the head to the heart. So you said that according to your intention, you go to different places.
Yes.
And because the heart is not properly aligned...
Yes.
You're not reaching your goal, and then to move, you said there has to be clarity, clarity or the attention.
Yes.
You need to have that. So that clarity comes through the chanting, like even though, how does the clarity come?
How does clarity come? It's gradual, and it comes through association of those who have clarity. And the name certainly has clarity, and the Bhagavatam certainly has clarity. So how we connect with the name and how we connect with the Bhagavatam has a lot to do with the quality of association that we keep. And hanker for. And when we're in that association, how we receive it. Therefore, the first offense is sadhu-ninda. Etc.
Yeah. Mara, you were mentioning about kriti, like what do we do with our senses? So there's a major part of the day where... somebody is like working outside or working inside, or a student is studying. It's not a...
They're what? Working inside, outside. What was the last part?
Or a student or a child is spending
student
the time
child.
Is studying.
Okay.
Which is not a direct devotional service to Krishna.
Okay.
So how can that major part of the day be made part of one's sadhana, not just that somebody have to do it or want to do it, but something more leading to the intention one has overall in life? How can that be?
Read. It's a wonderful purport, Brahma Samhita text 61. And in that, it answers your question. The answer, the essence of the answer is, along the same lines of what we've been speaking, when the activities of devotional practice, direct devotional activity, of course, properly performed, we've been describing properly performed, when direct devotional activity, properly performed, is joined with the activities of this world, the activities of this world become as purifying as the direct devotional activities. Our activities are inspired by guna and karma. We have our psychophysical nature. Bhaktisiddhanta takes three categories, our civic duties, our family duties, and our body and mind duties. And it lists different things. Those are duties because we have a body. We have a body because of the guna and karma. So there's things that we need to do. Go to school and have a job and raise family and do things that are of this world. So is it either or? Does this interfere with that? That was Brahma's question. I have all this ecstatic realization about Krishna, but now I have to go create a universe. And is that going to interfere with my meditation upon Krishna? Then supposing I don't do it, then I'll incur sin for neglecting my duty. That's going to be a problem. So if you know, I have a problem if I do and I have a problem if I don't, what's the solution? Which is, you have your nature, you act according to your nature, and join that theistic conduct in connection with proper hearing and chanting. And then it becomes as pure, because the mind and the intelligence are embedded with the modes, and we need to purify them too. But by the bhakti process, it does it. So we're relying upon the bhakti process, the potency of the bhakti process. And the bhakti process, once again, is anukulyena Krishna anushilana. Okay. Yeah, right behind you.
What does it mean, pleasing Krishna, when it comes to chanting the holy names?
You don't know. You're asking Krishna to be engaged in his service according to his desire. And that's the starting point. Then it goes further and further, his desire. But, you know, the mood of whatever it is, let me be in your service. And then we have our life in front of us, and our life in front of us has a lot to do with our past free will choices. There's events coming our way on the path of life. Let me just be in your service as those events of life unfold.
So, the intention to want a relationship with,
yes,
Krishna could be a starting point when,
yeah,
I chant?
Yeah. Absolutely. Next. Over here. We got, my peripheral vision is not working so well this morning, going over here so much.
Thank you, Sri Maharaj. My question was about the, like, connecting the heart and the head with this topic of saying yes to Krishna.
Connecting the heart with?
This topic with the theme of saying yes to Krishna.
Uh-huh.
The reactive mind is, like, most of the time I find the challenge of where I'm facing a challenge of saying yes to Krishna, I find myself that I am on the reactive side.
And you're also what?
On the reactive side. I'm
reactive. Okay.
So, how I'm hearing this is like, the shift has to happen from the reactive mind to the service mind. And I have to focus on my attitude or mood of service. But how I'm hearing is that even the desires that you were talking about, that they are desires of the mind and they're desires of the soul. So I have more access to the desire of the mind, but I don't have so much access to the desire of the soul, because of, I don't have a proper attitude toward Krishna, and my service mood is not strong.
So, but you practice it. That's what sadhana is. You practice it. So, and the most important time of your day when you practice it is when you're chanting, when you're hearing, when you're engaging in the principal activities of bhakti. If you try, you'll find there's a lot of distraction. Like exactly what you said. The stuff that's in the mind, that's what's where our attention is going, not to serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna. So that tells you something. And that tells you, you know, the varieties of things that the mind is occupied with. But the power of bhakti is in the intention. So just cultivate that. Not only the behavior of chanting, but the need of the soul, the hankering of the soul is to be in a loving relationship. We all want. Why do we all want to love and be loved? Even George Harrison understood it. We all want to love and be loved, but we're opposing that tendency elsewhere. So, just keep cultivating it. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. Isn't it nice?
So the intention part, just a clarification on that. So can my intention be to stay in the mood of service?
Yes.
And I don't know the details of service, but...
That's okay. That'll fill itself out. As your consciousness of, I am by my true identity, who I am, is, I'm a service person. Look at your life. You're a service person. And let that service spirit be reposed for the pleasure of Krishna. Doesn't mean you neglect. You do those things for the pleasure of Krishna. And to get that for the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, it starts with how you do your sadhana. The intention aspect of how you do your sadhana. Okay? Boy, you've got monopoly over here on this side. We have 8 minutes left. Make it quick.
Excellent. Yes, Guru Maharaj. From the heart, there is a more, I want to understand, you know, to be in the process of saying yes to Krishna from the heart. And the heart experience emotions, there are feelings like happiness or distress or...
That's the mind.
Like, that's the mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, then, if we, in the process of devotional service, you know, we feel unhappy about our position, you know, when we fail to say yes to Krishna, and when we feel happy and satisfied when we say yes to Krishna, and we have that reciprocation, is that being in that space of progressing?
It's progress. It's definitely progress. And two things. There's a mix. You know, that happiness is something that I'm at the center of the happiness. Instead of Krishna's happiness is at the center of my happiness. It takes a while to get Krishna conscious, where Krishna's happiness is at the center. Because we're selfish. We see things, you know. It's not that consciousness light goes out when you're Krishna conscious. Your consciousness is, Krishna is at the center of consciousness. And that's real happiness. And then comes, you know, the in addition to I'm at the center, you know, the celebrating and patting myself on the back saying I did it. You know, like, I'm a good devotee now. I'm Krishna conscious, good devotee. So, humility is profound on the spiritual side. The material humility is not spiritual humility. They don't feel the same, they don't look the same, they're not the same. So what's, and humility is essential for entering into the realm of transcendence. Because otherwise, you know, we're stuck over here. Thinking about ourselves too much. Okay, some hands back here. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We don't have time.
Hare Krishna Mahavir. Partially you answered when Subal Prabhu asked the question. My question was, change of heart verse in Srimad Bhagavatam you quoted, the heart is still framed.
Still framed, yeah.
Yeah, if even after chanting the holy name.
With attention.
With attention, and there is a tears and other symptoms, still the heart do not change. So I was just wondering, all those symptoms, kind of you said that those emotions are not from heart, maybe from mind. I'm thinking,
no, listen to what I said. That the verse says if those symptoms do not appear, it's because if the bhava stage is not reached, it's because of the heart is steel framed. So we need to make the heart soft. The purport speaks about offenses. The way to overcome the steel framed heart is avoid offenses. I didn't spend time with that one, but that's what the purport says. But the symptoms, those are spiritual symptoms. You don't put them on and take them off. They arise directly from the soul. Lord Chaitanya said like that, don't think that I dance for entertainment. It's not something outside, it's something that just comes. Now for us, Prabhupada said, if you're not feeling ecstasy, then dance and the ecstasy will come. And it's true. You know, people that haven't been around devotees come to a gathering like this and they see all the devotees jumping around and dancing around and wonder, whoa, what's going on? But you know, after that response, then gets swept away and it's nice. It's actually natural. So, have I answered your question? Those feelings that are spoken of in this verse are not the ones that Subal was referring to. The happiness and distress ones, that's the mind. And this is direct feelings of the soul. You know, we're not desiring to become feeling less. Desire less, desire zero. We want desire in relation to Krishna. That's spiritual consciousness.
Why I was thinking if maybe just the mind was because such emotions come and go also.
Yes, but they arise from the soul directly. That's different than arising from the mind and contacting and contemplating. Am I enjoying yet? Are we having fun yet? You know that one.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. Way back in the back, Damodar Priya. When she raises her hand, you got to listen.
Thank you, Maharaj. I have a question. Is the desire to be in the association of divine for the relationship with the Supreme, is it coming from the head or the heart? Because the pure desire should be not to experience that relationship, but to please Krishna with whatever he desires for us.
Well, I touched on that topic, but I don't mind saying it again. It's a mix. And largely, we operate from the head. But in the beginning stage, you know, there is some faith, and there is some hankering for truth and reality and spirituality and substance and that which isn't cosmetic. We desire the real thing. The reality, spiritual reality, we desire that. And there's a mix. So the answer is it's a mix. And we want to move over to the side of unmixed. That's the cultivation of sadhana. It's where that goal is very, we want to get to the unmixed position. Although I'm way over here, I have that aspiration. That sadhya, that goal is clear. From whatever my position. I'm looking at the clock and I see a bunch of hands. Right behind you there's one Mataji in the back. And we're going to end with that because it's time to end.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned that we should bring intention to relationship with Krishna. And for instance, when I start a service, any service, I can here is going to start a relationship with Krishna because I'm going to say, Krishna, please accept my service.
Very good.
And this is going to be exclusively for you.
Very good.
Please forgive me if my intention will go in the wrong way.
Very good.
Would Krishna consider this sincere pray as...
Absolutely. You practically took the words from Prabhupada's mouth. The words from Prabhupada's mouth, part of the installation ceremony of Rukmini Dwarkadish was almost what you said. This is, you know, in relation to serving the deity. Starts with humility. That was his indication. My dear Lord Krishna, I have no qualification. And then he got emotional and said, I'm rotten, I'm fallen, I'm puffed up, and his voice started to crack. He said, but please, you accept. And this is the way that we should make our offerings. And you know, the part that you said is my intention may go off, but please, Krishna, accept what my actual intention is, even I'm distracted with other intentions. And that's very similar to what Rupa Goswami writes in Nectar of Instruction, or Nectar of Devotion. Hope against hope. I don't have the qualification, but I'm shameless. I'm coming anyway.
Thank
Please
you.
Accept my service. Okay, we're going to keep our schedule. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.